Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A set of photos from inside an Escambia County classroom is circulating on social media and has been. It's raising some questions about an English teacher's curriculum. Now, the pictures were taken in an English class at Booker T. Washington High School last fall. They show the N-word written several times on a dry erase board, part of a lesson on how the word has been used and changed over the years. Well, students tell us they were the first to file complaints with the school's administration. And today, a member of the community filed a formal complaint with the school district.
We should not be using derogatory terms as a teaching tool. That's unacceptable. It's not something just happening, just gonna go away. It made an impact on the children in that classroom.
As you've heard the story, and David Wayne was just talking about this a minute ago. Channel 3's been running this all day, and I love Ellison. He's a dear friend. He's been on the show many times. I disagree with him about this. You disagree with the black civil rights advocates about the use of the N-word, Andrew. how nice for you as a white man. Hear me out. Okay, hear me out. I can see all kinds of ways in which a lesson in a high school where the teacher is talking about this word could be bad, could go wrong, and could be problematic. It's not hard to imagine. I can also imagine this being the best class that any student ever has in their entire educational career. Because it's content that kids could learn from, that they could grow from, that they would remember, that would have the chance of really making an impact on the way they think about the whole world. See, here's what I imagine. You know, I hear these stories, you know, some teacher comes up with some crazy question and, you know, they were obviously insane for doing it and how dare they and who approved this and what's wrong with them. And these stories abound. You know, you're always some test question where they ask you to do the math of the, you know, what are the prostitutes and the crack dealers doing? You know, I mean, like, and you think, what are you doing? Well, we're just trying to make it relevant for the kids. Find a different way. You know, right? Okay. But there's all kinds of those examples. But let me give you, I don't know what happened in this classroom. I don't know what the lesson plan was. But as a teacher of philosophy and ethics and logic and the kind of person who sometimes imagines how a teaching idea might be brilliant, let me give you what I think at least could be done in this realm. Do kids hear swear words? Do kids hear insults? Do kids hear fighting words? Do they hear slurs? I mean, none of these words are new to these kids. So the idea that you're going to somehow surprise them with the words is, you know, pretty unlikely. But what if you had a class, and I don't know how many days it would take to do this, but what if maybe, I'm thinking about a week, okay? In some other context, maybe it would be an English class where you would teach them about banned words, about profanity, about the history of profanity and censorship and slurs, and take it head on. And talk about the N-word, the B-word for women, the D-word for lesbians, the F-word for gay men, the K-word for Jews, the W-word for Italians, you can pick it. And talk about the history of racial slurs and why people use them and how they have power and how they might not have power and what the First Amendment protects and what constitutes a fighting word and why you can imagine a society like ours where members of the class using the word is acceptable, members not of the class using the word is not acceptable. I mean, it's content that students understand. It's content they live with. And you have the opportunity to take a practice that they engage in or hear around them all the time and teach into it. And this would obviously be a great lesson in a college classroom, right? you know, a college classroom on linguistics or something. But if you're really trying to get kids to learn and to understand the value of education, to see the relevance of it, maybe a class like this at the high school level is equally appropriate. I'm just telling you, if I'd have had a class like this, even if it was for a couple of days or a week, I would remember that class. Well, Andrew, just because it's potent, I mean, you'd remember a class where they showed you an X-rated movie, too. Yeah, I get it. Okay, not everything that makes an impression is valuable. And you'd have trouble because, for example, you probably don't want a white guy like me teaching you the history and the significance of the N-word. You'd probably want a black person teaching that lesson. And you'd probably want a gay man teaching you the significance of the other F-word, right? And you'd probably want somebody who's Jewish or somebody who, you know, and I could actually see that being part of the lesson plan. You know, it might be hard to get each of those individual people in, but wouldn't that be great to go into a class and have a Jewish person teaching you the significance of the various slurs that have been used against Jews over all the years, or the various things that have been done to Jews over the years, from making them, you know, wear the Star of David as, I mean, just, you, I can see ways in which this could be fantastic. And I can see ways in which it would be horrible. The problem is, we have trained an entire generation of people to react against something on the basis of whether it's thought to be offensive as opposed to actually offensive to you. And we've taught people not to think about the meaning, and taught to think, and we've taught them not to be rational. We've taught them not to even ask questions about, well, even if it's offensive, is it true? Can something be offensive and still be true? And what should we do with those kinds of things? Instead, they're just, you know, oh, don't say that. That's bad. That's banned. That's politically incorrect. That's, you know, anti-woke. Cancel that person. That's anti-education. Again, especially for words that these kids all know and all, at least some of them, use. So, I don't know what happened in this classroom, but the idea that this couldn't possibly be a valid educational exercise, I think exactly the opposite. I think it could have been one of the most spectacularly useful discussions and captivating and interesting and educational opportunities that these kids might have ever encountered in their public education. 437-1620, what do you think? I'd like to hear from you. Jake is on, got traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, not seeing really any major slowdowns on our roadways. One accident reported by FHP. This is going to be on University Avenue or University Parkway between 9 Mile and East Johnson Road. It's going to be near Constitution Place. We've got a vehicle crash with roadblock there. Not really tying things up too bad this morning. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is looking good. Highway 29 is good from the Atmore cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. No delays on Burgess or Olive. 9 Mile is accident free, and Lillian Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all looking good. If you see anything on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Somebody text in here, 437-1620. If that word is so hurtful, hateful, and derogatory, why is it something that some people use so much? I mean, fair question. And that's a conversation you could have. One of the best documentaries I ever watched was specifically on the use of that word. But, you know, and I'm like, oh, do I talk about this on the radio? I probably can't talk about this on the radio. But fascinating. Really interesting. Okay? 437-1620. It's a word that gets used as slang by the kids. If they're going to use it, learn about it, regardless of who teaches it. Very possibly a lesson that got misunderstood. Yeah, I think so. fighting words like, yo mama. You know, like, seriously. Language is such a powerful thing. And, you know, we talk about the First Amendment, and sometimes we talk about language and rights and censorship and freedom of expression in a way that's so boring and disconnected from people's actual lives. You know, maybe something like this would make lessons about why we protect people in their speech, and, you know, why we protect them even in offensive speech. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm idealistic. Maybe I'm naive. I mean, it's true on both counts, I'm sure. But when I first saw this story, I thought, yeah, I can see why the students reacted that way, but I could see why the teacher would have done it. I wouldn't have done it without a lot of administrative cover, but I would have taught this lesson under the right circumstances with the right permission, you know? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yeah, but names do hurt, and understanding that, and bullying through names. Somebody says, Andrew, I think this is a brilliant take. As a teacher, I had many times the opportunity to explain the derivation of words when used in their context were not considered objectionable, such as bastardized. Oh, good example. Oh, no, that's great. You could talk about the shifting landscape of words. You know, words that are not problematic, but then become problematic over time or lose their problematic nature or get sanitized, you know, down or up. Words that sound like, we have this homophone problem in English right now where if you say a word that sounds like a bad word, you can get in trouble. I don't even want to use the examples. There's a word that means stingy that sounds like the N-word. And, boy, you better be careful not saying that because people will misunderstand. Oh, my God, you took a legitimately decent American English word and made it bad because people are too dumb to know the difference? That's amazing. But that's how language works sometimes, right? This person goes on. Students didn't understand that and thought that I might have just been using foul language. I think the idea... even that word, bastard, is a great example. I mean... a child of parents who are not married. It's not even, it doesn't even carry negative content for that because we have so many illegitimate children. But the word still has power even though what it refers to doesn't have power. It's a fascinating story. I think the idea of assisting students in understanding context is incredibly valuable. However, I think this would have been much easier to stand behind for the teacher if they could easily present documentation that shows this kind of derivative conversation is typical and appropriate for the class of context. I think this is a great discussion because it can help people push them out of their reactions, especially the adults. Somebody says, watching the movie Jackie Brown, I realize UCN word has been used throughout my lifetime. I think the offense is that it's exclusive to some demographics and they don't want to normalize it and discuss it, just a specific special word above being shared. Andrew, when I first heard this story, a teacher myself, I completely agree with everything you said. I teach middle school, 8th grade. And these kids know these words and use them on a routine basis. Again, they're going to, I mean, they know the words, right? Now, I can also easily understand a parent who's like, you're going to say what in front of my kids? You know. And by the way, including, I think profanity would be a great one to teach them about. And why are so many profane words related to, for example, bodies, functions, and sex? And, you know, you're going to say banned words in the classroom? Listen, I have a pretty, wide open lens when it comes to what could be useful for educating kids, you know? And sometimes, what, you think they don't know the words? I mean, you think they're not using the words? Didn't you? 437-1620. Somebody else just says, hey, it's a good lesson if you do it the right way. And that would, that's all I'm saying. I can see ways in which this would go extraordinarily well, and I can see ways in which this could go extraordinarily badly. And what do? Opt for safety out of the possibility that could go wrong? That's what our culture has done. To what value overall? 623 News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fraudulent tax returns due identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Their U.S.-based restoration specialists are dedicated to helping solve identity theft issues, and all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which means if you lose money because of identity theft, LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan. Help protect your information with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com and save up to 25% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food! That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You gotta stop crying. She hasn't cried this much since the day we got married, honestly.
Why do you got to invite him into the Love Shack and then make him pay for the jukebox? That just seems like a mixed message. 626 on News Radio 92.3. Because it's not a jukebox? I don't know. Anyway, Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, not seeing any major slowdowns in our area here.
Sorry, Jake.
Yeah,
that's my fault.
Rock
sorry
out. About that. I love that track. 10 roof, rusted. I-10 and I-110 are flowing. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre looks good. We still have that accident hanging out on University Parkway between 9 Mile and East Johnson Road, but not causing any tie-ups or slowdowns. Looks like Longleaf Drive is good. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. No delays on Burgess or Olive. Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. And Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything out there on the roadways slowing you down, let me know about it. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. I'm still thinking about this story with this Washington High education class where the teacher was using the N-word and teaching about the use of the N-word. What if you had a class, and in that class you had a black person comes in and says, and talks to you about, you know, and you ask them the question, how do you feel when you hear a white person use that word? How does that make you feel? Now, how do you feel when another black person uses that word? How do you feel when it's in a song? And maybe get a couple of different black people to give their personal experience of what the, how, you know, you're Jewish, how do you feel when, you know, you would have the opportunity to actually hear from people about how the word affects them. Maybe that would change kids' use of slurs and mean words. I don't know, but God, what a fascinating opportunity. But instead, you know, we just kind of, oh, no, don't do that. How dare you? Andrew, you shouldn't even be talking about this. Why? Well, they'll cancel you for talking about it. Oh, okay. I think it's unlikely. 628 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, after seven World Central Kitchen aid workers were killed in that attack in Gaza, President Biden today will be holding a call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Biden says he's outraged by that incident and is urging Israel to do more to protect civilians. Netanyahu said the strike on the aid workers was unintentional and they do have an investigation underway. Donald Trump's bid to use presidential immunity as part of his defense in the hush money case has now been rejected. He's charged with falsifying business records. And there's a new bill out in California that I suppose is aimed to give employees more work-life balance. It would restrict an employer's ability to contact their employees during off hours. This bill would mandate companies to specify their employee compensated hours and then prohibit them from contacting employees or expecting them to respond to calls, texts, or emails outside of those hours.
Yeah, it's a fascinating proposal. There are some jobs that this simply would not work for. A police officer.
Right.
Nurse. You know, engineer at a radio station. You know, right? I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
But there are all kinds of occupations where you can see this pushing back against the encroachment that the digital age has created for employees. They say it's $100 would be the civil penalty if they violate it, you know, for each time. California, the first to consider this, but more than a dozen countries have already enacted these kind of laws. Kenya, apparently, the latest one to do so. France was the first to do a right to disconnect law in 2017. And I think it's interesting. And I can imagine it being in the sort of bundle of corporate practices that better companies do and less good companies don't do. I'm not super thrilled about the idea of the law, you know, the government coming in and mandating it, because I don't prefer that as a solution. But I think we can all agree that businesses do encroach and those boundaries get blurred, not to the betterment of employee quality of life, which is the whole point of the law, is kind of protecting people from, you know, hours worked, not hitting in the home.
Fox News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are going to talk today. Their first call since the Monday IDF strike that killed nonprofit World Central Kitchen aid workers in Gaza. In a statement, Netanyahu has said this happens in war. Vice President Kamala Harris will campaign in North Carolina today.
The Biden-Harris campaign facing an uphill climb in North Carolina. A new Wall Street Journal poll shows former President Trump is leading in that state by 6 points.
That is Fox's Brooke Singman. That poll also showed President Biden trailing former President Trump in 6 other swing states. A judge in New York rejecting former President Trump's bid to delay his April 15th hush money criminal trial until the Supreme Court has ruled on the presidential immunity claims. The Supreme Court is scheduled to hear those arguments on April 25th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Looks like a beautiful morning out there. Maybe a little bit chilly, though. It's 50 degrees right now in Pensacola. And if you've tried driving anywhere near NAS Pensacola's West Gate on a Blue Angels practice day, you know exactly how backed up that traffic can get. Well, some residents who live in subdivisions in that area are now saying that it's causing them issues with being able to get in and out of their neighborhoods. And Commissioner Mike Kohler says he's currently working on solutions to the problem.
We have a meeting on Monday the 8th with people from FDOT, Congressman Gates' office's aide, our county staff, the sheriff, and look at all options to see how we can improve the traffic pattern.
And Kohler talked with Channel 3. The residents say they'd like to see the traffic allowed to possibly enter also at the NAS Pensacola main gate as well as the west gate, and see law enforcement directing traffic on those busy practice days. An Okaloosa County judge ruling that Escambia County Clerk and Comptroller Pam Childers was in the right in withholding lucrative retirement payments to county commissioners. In the 18-page ruling yesterday, Judge William Stone said Childers had properly exercised discretion in ceasing to make the payments to the local plan. Back in 2022, Escambia County sued Childers on behalf of Commissioner Stephen Berry, Robert Bender, and Lumen May to force her to make those payments, which amounts to 58% of their salary in taxpayer funds. Judge Stone concluded in the ruling that it's not lawful for elected leaders to participate in the local plan. The county will likely appeal that ruling. The Atmore Community Hospital now closing its surgery department. That'll be as of this June. The hospital says they made that decision based on low patient volumes, poor reimbursement rates, and rapidly inflating costs. The hospital says they are working to have outpatient surgical consults with visiting specialists at other area hospitals, such as D.W. McMillan Memorial in Brewton. The hospital says they're still reviewing the services they offer to see what is working from a financial perspective. Senator Marco Rubio says it's time to hold big tech accountable. He wrote yesterday on DailyCaller.com that he'd like to reform Section 230 and eliminate legal protections for social media companies. Rubio says current law allows market-dominant tech firms to engage in censorship and use algorithms to manipulate their users, especially, he says, children. Rubio's proposing a bill called the Discourse Act, which would allow Americans to sue tech firms for provable harm. And the legal battle over text messages that Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Bergosh says was stolen will continue. A hearing has now been set for June, according to Studio 850. That hearing is set for June 10th in Okaloosa County. The judge will be considering a motion to dismiss the lawsuit and to recover attorney fees. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Jake's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Okay, if you're coming out of Milton this morning on I-10 westbound, right at the foot of the Blackwater River Bridge, we have the left lane closed due to road work this week. I think it's happening all week. So that's going to start slowing some things down this morning as congestion and volume lifts up through the morning. So that's going to be on I-10 westbound coming out of Milton at the Blackwater River Bridge. Otherwise, around town, we're looking really great. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, not seeing any slowdowns there. Highway 29 is good from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. No delays on Burgess or Olive. We're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. And Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can let us know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today, starting off on the cooler side in the 40s, warming up into the 70s by the afternoon. Overnight tonight, back in around 47 degrees. For Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 73 degrees. Friday night temperatures dropping near 48. We're going to keep that nice sunny weather around as we go into Saturday day with a high near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it certainly looks like a beautiful morning right now. We do have clear skies, 50 degrees in Pensacola, 48 in Gulf Breeze, and 48 also in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The only maritime shipping terminal currently operating in the Port of Baltimore is preparing to process an influx of redirected ships as crews continue clearing the mangled wreckage of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. TradePoint Atlantic said it is planning to unload and process an estimated 10,000 vehicles over the next 15 days. The company will also store and process the steel pieces of the bridge as they're removed from the water. Lateran Bloom, one of Louisiana's most dominant commercial and residential real estate companies, has been purchased by Compass Real Estate, the largest real estate brokerage in the U.S. Compass is a publicly traded company based in Manhattan with more than 28,000 agents in 28 states. The acquisition of Lateran Bloom will give Compass a presence in the Deep South for the very first time. Futures are moderately higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials dropped 43, the NASDAQ up 37. That's your money now.
Attention business owners. Stop wasting money on rent and start building up equity by owning a custom-designed building from General Steel. Over four decades, General Steel's been trusted by small business owners and the Fortune 500. Call us today at 844-98-STEEL for your fast construction, low-maintenance, high-quality building at an affordable price. Call 844-98-STEEL to own your building starting with just a small deposit. Business owners like you are taking advantage of early spring weather and getting a head start in their projects. This surge in demand will extend the project timeline, so act now and be ready to build this spring. Call 844-98-STEEL to secure your place in our delivery schedule. Stop wasting money on rent and start gaining equity with a building from General Steel. Call 844-98-STEEL now to find out how quickly your business can move into one of our quick construction kits, like a 50 by 100 perfect for the small business owner, or a 200 by 450 favorite of the Fortune 500. Just call 844-98-STEEL. That's 844-987-8335.
When Pete Salvato at Only Choice Healthcare talks to people about health insurance, they tell them they worry about having quality health insurance and their finances. Pete knows he will help with both. People are paying huge deductibles and premiums with Obamacare, but you can get a health plan with exclusive benefits and features. There's no deadlines. Enroll anytime. Only Choice Healthcare offers freedom of choice on your medical providers and zero deductibles on outpatient coverage, including surgery. If you're under 65 and in decent health, protect yourself and family. Call Pete and save 30 to 60% with better coverage. This is the best non-Obamacare plan available. Call Only Choice Healthcare at 352-683-3923. That's 352-683-3923. Or go to onlychoicehealthcare.com. It's the only choice. Onlychoicehealthcare.com. A quality plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
People who are skirting in and out of traffic and not driving in lanes that they should be driving in and that kind of thing. So it is a safety hazard.
We can't get home. The street's completely blocked. If you're coming from Blue Angel or Gulf Beach Highway, it's blocked for a half mile or more. And the only way we can get to our houses, if we have to drop our kids off at school or something to that effect, is to drive illegally. We have to drive on the shoulder next to the road.
So Channel 3 yesterday ran a story about the problems of NAS Pensacola Blue Angels traffic practice, for, traffic around the practice sessions, which is a major problem. It has been a major problem whenever we had the Blue Angels practice. Remember when the base was closed? This wasn't a problem. And we were all upset about how the base was closed and we couldn't see the Blues. And now we're all upset about how the base is open and we can see the Blues. And it's like, what will make you happy? Well, nothing really in the end. But how do you solve it? That's the challenge. Mike Kohler is the county commissioner for Escambia County for District 2. That includes NAS Pensacola. He joins us now by phone. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm great. So I know this is inconvenient for the residents, massively inconvenient for the residents, but I'm also thinking about base compatibility issues, and I heard these people have called, like, the Pentagon to complain, and these are bad news notes, right, for the prospect of the base and things going forward, like we talked about last week.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the thing is, so last week, the Blues started, and the first day, I've never got so many calls and emails saying, what are you doing? And then Congressman Gates' office called the next day. And then, of course, I called the base CO and I called the sheriff. And I said, what is going on out here, right? Because it's ridiculously backed up.
Yeah.
But the point that this is not just a county issue. It's a federal, state, and local issue. And I'll give you an example. The gate itself, those are gate guards run by the base, which is federal. If they don't have enough gate guards to put people through that gate, then there's nothing I can do about that. That's on the base CO. Now, the base CO, when I talk to them, they have to go through some questionnaires, obviously, to make sure that people are legal, that they don't have a firearm. And he's saying that's what's slowing down the process. But we'll talk about that. And then from the state level, the TPO, you can go 100 miles from east of Panama City all the way down, through Gulf Breeze on a four-lane road till you get to Navy and Barrancas, and then you go to a two-lane road all the way to the Alabama border to a residential neighborhood. And it just doesn't seem like that's the best plan to funnel everyone through the back gate to me.
Right.
And most of the people that are coming our people that live in District 2, they can go out their front door and watch the Blue Angels. It's tourism
that's
coming to the show from, Alabama and the beach. So a lot of things going on here. We're going to have a meeting on Monday out at the museum to try to see what everyone can do. I actually think they should limit the number of people. Like, they get a ticket like you do when you go to the movie or a concert. If you don't have a DOD ID card, you have to have that to get on the base. And then we could control the number. It'd be complicated for the first few weeks, but then everyone would sign up online and they'd know if you didn't get it, you're not getting on the base. That's an option. Closing by our roads an option. More deputies out there, but, according to our traffic engineer and the sheriff, they think that the problem is bottlenecks at the gate. But the other option I threw out, I don't know if this is plausible, but why not do an air show one day a week at the beach and bring in more tourism dollars? It'd be a little bit more costly, but it would relieve some of the traffic. But when I brought that up, I don't think the base wants that because the museum and MWR make some money
right
off the air show for the seating and stuff. So there's a lot of ground to cover here to get to a better solution. I'll just put it that way.
No, I think I like all of those ideas. That's why I'm listening and not asking questions. I think those are all interesting ideas. And you even, I don't know if it's in the mix, but just to make sure it doesn't get overlooked, you have the, I always forget the name of it, the facility to the north that's the old airstrip that's been abandoned for years and years and years by the recreation area. You know,
Blue Angel Parkway over off of Lillian and Bower Road.
Yeah, I just forget that.
I
forget the name of the field.
It's the Blue Angel Rec Park.
Yeah, but it, like that area, I always thought theoretically, like even during COVID, I remember when the question was, we just don't want people all so close together. And my thought was, well, what if we could have the Blue Angels practice there and then people could be spread out in that facility? Because it's a huge land space. Anyway, just, you know, some other thoughts to maybe consider. Because, yeah, you're right. The
problem. I haven't even thought about that, but, you know, they have to have a point of reference. So they'd have to figure that out. Like,
sure.
You know, when they do it over the beach, they put that Coast Guard cutter out there.
Agreed.
So, but that's a possibility.
Bronson Field. Several people texted me. Bronson Field is the name of it. Yeah. We're talking to Mike Kohler, County Commissioner for District 2. Mike, hang on for just a second. Let me get, speaking of traffic, on the fives with Jake. Go ahead, Jake.
Okay, this traffic report is brought to you by Jackson Hewitt. It matters who does your taxes. Not seeing any major delays on our roadways. I-10 westbound in Milton, right as you reach the Blackwater River Bridge. We do have some road construction there. It's got the left lane closed, so that's going to cause a little bit of slowdown. And Highway 98 eastbound, starting at the Walmart Supercenter, stretching all the way up to the new Publix at Windhaven Plaza, seeing our normal morning slowdown there. Otherwise, we're looking great around town. If you see anything else out there, let me know. 437-1620. Why are people saying, "Hew yeah!" to Jackson Hewitt? Find out before it's too late. Hurry into Jackson Hewitt today. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mike Kohler. Yeah, I remember talking about Brunson Field with Lucky back in the day because of the base closure with the terrorist attack, that was maybe an alternate site that we could use. Anyway, so I'm glad you guys are working on it. I know there's a lot of questions to ask and figure out how to put the incentives in line with the people who are capable of creating the pain for the residents, which, and you know, the danger for, you know, not being able to get through for emergency services. You got a lot of stuff that's been happening in the last couple of days. One is yesterday we had the ruling come down on the 401A, the local plan. Pam Childers is right. Commissioners Barry and May and Bender, who participated in the local plan, that is not a legal plan. They didn't create the plan, but they participated and then sued to be able to continue to get paid under that plan. Is the commission going to appeal this ruling? What do you think?
Boy, I hope not. I know I won't be able to vote for that because I ran against it. To my understanding, talking with the county attorney yesterday, we have 30 days to appeal it. I don't believe it's going to come up tonight, unless one of the other commissioners has something to say about it as far as the appeal, but you never know. It's too excessive. Pam, you know, Pam went after this. It's obvious to me. When I first got elected, they offered it to me. There's only a handful of people in it, and as far as commissioners, there was only those three and Maria Young. That had taken it. And then you also have the SMS, the senior management, that's probably eventually going to have to be looked at for the rate as well. I was only no vote on that as well last sitting August. But, it's bad news for the county. I'm sure there's a lot of axe feelings among some of my colleagues, but it was the right thing to happen, in my opinion. It was just too much.
You guys are also today going to be. You're not actually voting on. You're not voting on the issue. You're just voting to have a hearing on the issue of the Escambia Children's Trust and whether they should be given an exemption to having to pay the CRA money back that they had collected. I was surprised that you guys voted to take this money last time because I thought at the very least just wait was the right choice. But you voted to force them to pay the money, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely, and I'll explain that. So. When I look at what the Children's Trust has done in District 2, they can't give me a handful of projects they've done in 3 years over here. So when you look at – now, there's a couple options here. So we voted for that, and then their attorney was right. We have to vote to let them have a public hearing, which I will support that. I think that's the right thing to do. And then we have a couple options. We could exempt them, which we denied that the last vote. We could take the money and put it in our CRAs. Or we could do a third option, which we say to the Children's Trust, okay, we'll keep the money this year. You come back with a plan and for each of the CRAs to put the money in the Children's Trust, and maybe next year we give them back to them if they have a plan to use the money efficiently. But this is called oversight, Andrew. And right now, that money's not, in my humble opinion, being used effectively. Now, you could argue, well, should it go back to tax fair? Well, maybe, you know, but that's not really the option right now. That'll come up in the vote. So where I'm leaning right now is we have, obviously should do the public hearing. We're required to. After we did that, she was right. We take the money the first year here. We go back to Children's Trust Fund and say, look, you have a year to come back with a plan. And then the following year, if you have a plan to use the money appropriately in the poorest neighborhoods in Escambia County, then we'll give the money back. I think that's the right thing to do. But right now, I don't see it being used effectively.
You know, I think that that might well thread the needle to solve sort of all of the issues, because I think you're certainly right. Many people are frustrated with the failure of the Escambia Children's Trust to do what they're supposed to do. And if we can see them doing more effective things and in the CRA areas, you know, maybe that's everybody's happy in the end with that result. Last thing I wanted to ask you about OLF 8. Are we getting closer or farther away from getting a deal?
You know, I don't think the government should, you know, I don't think we're good at this kind of stuff. I've said that. But honestly, I think we're going in the wrong direction. You know, the county offered a $25 million for me, I looked at some comps around that area. This property is worth around $29 to $40 million, it looks like to me. And then they came back and offered us $20 million. And so it's almost like it's a standoff now. I was told yesterday we may have another offer today. I haven't seen that come through on my email. But, I think I think it may be going in the wrong direction unless they come through with something substantially different. I'm not going to be part of the worst land deal in Escambia County. So I'm not going to be that guy.
I understand, but
I'd like to get rid of it. Honestly, I'd like to get rid of it for a fair price so that we could, you know, we can move on and make some tax base off of it. But you can't lose $8 to $20 million and say that's a good deal for the citizens of Escambia County.
Well, I know a lot of the argument has been that, well, if we clear our invested costs, then at least we're breaking even or making some money. But I look at it as, yeah, but you've lost a lot of ground, so to speak, due to inflation. And, you know, if that money had been put into infrastructure then, as opposed to what it would take to be put into infrastructure now, even at a break-even price, you've still lost a lot. So that, you know, that doesn't change what you can get out of the market necessarily, but it does change the assessment of whether this is a win, lose, or draw.
Well, you only have to go look across the street. There's a property at 8511 Molesky that has 11 acres, and the property is worth $1.88 million. And it's Liddy Catacorn from OLF 8. So if you were to just go at a million at 290 acres, we should get around $29 million at a low level. And we should get a lot more than that because this is going to grow. But I'd be willing to concede if we had a fair price.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think $20 million is a fair price.
Well, that's going to be that.
I just don't think it is.
Well, that's going to be an interesting conversation. Looking forward to that later today. Mike Kohler, he is the commissioner for District 2 in Escambia County. I used to always say that was the Southwest, but since redistricting, that's not quite exactly right. But it is the Warrington and the base and sort of all of that area east of Blue Angel. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I always appreciate the input, so we look forward to the meeting.
Okay, have a great day, Andrew.
You too. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
We got to do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we got to do? Toga party.
Put my roller skates on here for just a second. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Yes, yes. Talking it up on the Barry Gibb Talk Show. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre. Looking okay in the Gulf Breeze department. Over in Navarre, eastbound, getting out of Navarre, starting at the Walmart Supercenter. We're seeing our normal morning slowdown headed up toward Windhaven Beach, but not too bad. Otherwise, Highway 29, south through Cantonment, Inslee's looking good as well. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in good. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you're putting off thinking about that next vehicle because you don't love the process of shopping, you're worried about the cost, and what will you find? Hey, listen, I understand. I tend to keep my cars longer than I should, too. And they start costing you money, you know, every month, every other month, every couple of months. And you think it's fixed, and then it's not. And then you put money in, and you don't want to quit because you already put money in, and you're like, good money after bad a lot of times. So go to Frontier. Just look around. Find out what might be available to you. Find a car that you can count on, that you won't have to worry about for a good price with a few thousand miles on it. You know, it's been, you know, gently used for a year or two by somebody else, and then you get it in great shape for a good price. And possibly, I can't guarantee, but possibly even save yourself money by getting a newer vehicle. You know, it's entirely possible because at a certain point, used old cars cost you too much, right? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, NATO is marking its 75th anniversary today. Ministers will be meeting in Brussels to talk about support for Ukraine as they continue fighting the Russian invasion.
Will Tony Blinken be giving another rousing speech?
Possibly.
It's the least exciting person.
Like you're blinking your eyes from trying to stay awake.
Do you have sleep problems? Watch a Tony Blinken speech. Anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry.
Another Alabama hospital plans on stopping IVF treatments by the end of the year. Mobile Infirmary says they'll no longer be able to offer in vitro fertilization due to litigation concerns surrounding the treatment. And the Powerball jackpot rolling over again after there was no grand prize winner in last night's drawing. That puts the jackpot now at $1.23 billion.
Have you ever stood by, say, an old deep well and dropped a coin in, you know, because that's what you do?
I don't even know where to find an old deep
well
right
enough.
Now.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe that's a terrible metaphor. Nevertheless, that's buying a lottery ticket. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. All right, time for
Future news,
and we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will Blue Angels shift practices, at least some of them, to the beach or to Bronson Field, or will it stay at the base?
I think it's going to stay at the base.
I also think it's going to stay at the base, though I like the other ideas. Will they come up with some other solution?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it can't be worse, right? And also with spring break being over, I think that's probably going to help. Cusack, is the Ethics Commission going to ratify the $1,500 fine for him, you know, violating state law?
I mean, no.
I think they will, yeah. And I think that he will not say that he did anything wrong, but based on previous comments, but I think, you know, we're done here. 401A, will the county appeal the decision, Pam Childers, and the ruling yesterday?
Yeah. Yes.
I do not think they will appeal. I certainly hope they don't appeal.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.